Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And time now for our play-by-play call of the day, and we picked an appropriate one.
First and 10. Wentz again in the shotgun. Wentz comes back to Ajayi again. He's at the 40. He's at the 30. At the 20. At the 15. 10, 5. He dives. And he is in for the touchdown. His first touchdown as an Eagle. A 46-yard explosion by Jay Ajayi.
The Eagles are soaring, and our next guest has never sounded better. Merrill Reese joins us. Merrill, it is always a privilege and a pleasure. Thanks so much for the time you're giving us today.
It's always a pleasure to be on with my favorite play-by-play guy.
Thanks, Merrill. Appreciate that. Hey, it's interesting in the NFL, as you know, it has not been over the years a trade-happy league. Usually when a trade over the years has happened, you know, it's eye-opening. Huh? How about that? They dealt Eric Dickerson from the Rams to the Colts. There have been a lot more trades this year, offseason, and during the season. What has it told us about the Eagles in the way they've been able to trade and how they've improved the team by doing so?
Well, these recent deals, Steve, like for Ajayi and some of the earlier moves, I think were made by a team, and not just trades, but recent acquisitions. Like this week, for example, they picked up Will Beatty, who had been around for a while with the Giants, and they picked up Daniel Ellerbe, a middle linebacker who played with the Colts, the Ravens, when they won the Super Bowl. I think these are moves made by a team that is saying, you know what, we're in position to win this whole thing. Not that they're predicting that they're going to win the whole thing, but when you are standing there at 8-1, you've got to go for it. And you've got to upgrade and bolster any way you can. And I think that's what they're doing.
What does the Jay Ajayi mean now to what they're doing and in the mix and the balance of the running game for the Eagles?
I would say it enhances it. I think he is the most explosive running back in that stable. He has a burst like I haven't seen here in a long time. And I love the way that LeGarrette Blount is playing, and I love the way that the free agent, Corey Clement, who I know all about, the way he's playing. In fact, it's amazing to me, Steve, that a guy like Corey Clement can sit there idle for seven rounds of an NFL draft and nobody picks him up. And he is absolutely an NFL back.
Yeah, I thought watching him last year in person, Merrill, I thought that's probably a fourth, fifth-round pick right there. And I thought he'd make a team just because of, you know, the guy has great balance. You know that. You see it all the time, the balance.
Sure.
He has.
Sure. The thing I didn't know is that he has the kind of pass-catching ability that he does.
Yep. Yeah, the Big Ten championship game, he made a one-handed catch on the side that was just fabulous.
And you know, the other thing is he's probably their best blocking back.
Yep. Yeah, I would agree with that. Then, how much does it help the Eagles that they're three different style of guys?
I think it's good. I think it gives Deuce Staley a lot of options. And they also have, if you're talking about depth, they also have Wendell Smallwood, who can play. So I think this is great. Actually, they had a guy on the practice squad, Byron Marshall, who was just picked up and taken off the practice squad to go to the 53-man roster of the Redskins since Rob Kelly went down. And he can play, too. So sometimes you're lucky or fortunate or you do the right things and you acquire a lot of depth in a position, just like the tight end. You have Zach Ertz. Brent Celek can still play. And maybe one of the best athletes on this entire team is Trey Burton.
I saw Trey Burton in a bowl game against Penn State as well. Same thing. When you look at for example, Carson Wentz, we now have a 25-game sample size of him. Where is he better now? And you've seen great quarterbacks. The Eagles have had some great ones over the years, and that's why they've had such really, really good records. When you look at him, what are some things that he brings to the table in this 25-game sample size that tells you that they struck gold?
Everything. I mean everything. The arm, the size, the athleticism, the work ethic, the leadership. He walks into a room and the guys look at him. He has a commanding presence, and he's football's version of a gym rat. I mean, he's all football all the time, and he's got great poise. He checks every box that you would list next to the qualities of a franchise quarterback. He's that good. I was speaking at a luncheon today, and I ventured the opinion that I know it's only a year and a half, but I believe that if he stays healthy, and that's the thing you never know, if he stays healthy, he will one day be regarded as the greatest Eagles quarterback of all time.
Right. I could see why you would say that. You also have to get a little bit of luck where maybe some patience pays off for you. Go ahead, Miller.
That's okay. No, but I know what you're going to say about Nelson Aguilar. Do you know that last year, when Doug Peterson sat him down, he had a couple of bad games and he had totally lost his confidence, and they sat him down and they didn't dress him for a game, and they just let him sit back. Doug didn't scold him or he wasn't tough on him. He just said, I just want you to take a week off and relax and gather yourself together. Mike Quick, my partner in the booth, said to me, and he said it to our listeners too, he said, Nelson Aguilar is the single most talented wide receiver on this team. He is a big-time wide receiver. And even when the Eagles brought in Alshon Jeffrey this year and Torrey Smith, Mike still believes that Aguilar is the greatest talent in that wide receiver core.
Wow. Defensively, I want to start. Before I get to the defense, I want to ask you one quick question. Replacing Peters at left tackle is not easy. How have they been able to do this, keep things rolling, when they lose a key component like that?
I'm not sure myself, you know, because they put in a guy who had his problems last year. He had a rough orientation to the NFL and Halapulavati by tie. And I said to Doug yesterday, do you have to give him a lot of help? And Doug said, not anymore. He said, he's playing well. And the other thing about Vitae is, I've seen tackles or guards, I've seen offensive linemen get beaten a few times and start to retract into a shell and start to jump off sides and flinch. When this guy's beaten, all he does is get angry and more aggressive. Now, this week you're playing against DeMarcus Lawrence and the guy who has 11 and a half sacks, so who knows what that will bring. But he is holding up well, and I keep my fingers crossed and say so far.
Fletcher Cox, what does it mean to have an anchor like that?
Well, he's an elite player. He really is. But more than just Fletcher Cox, they made a move. A lot of people felt they were hurt last year when Benny Logan left in free agency. All they did was bring in Tim Jernigan, who is a more complete player than Benny Logan. So you put Jernigan in there next to Cox, and that makes Fletcher Cox that much better. But, yeah, you want an anchor like that, and you've got one.
All right, Ronald Darby, they acquired him from the Bills. Obviously, he's been banged up. But here's a guy that 29 games over 2 years with the Bills. What can he do now down the stretch for the Eagles that makes him an even better secondary?
Well, they're adding him to this week, I believe, to a secondary that's been pretty good. See, Steve, the whole thing is you see Jalen Mills and what he's done. He's a tough kid. I mean, he's got that gunfighter's mentality. He'll give one up and then come right back and pick one off. And then you have Rasul Douglas, who's done well. Patrick Robinson was so bad during training camp that nobody thought he would even make the team. He came off the field one day and just said, I'm disgusted with myself. I was really bad. He turned to the media and said, I was just horrible today. And yet, he's playing well. I mean, he makes key interceptions. They're all playing well. But the trick is, and I don't care if you're talking about college football or high school football or NFL football, the trick is that have the pressure up front. If you have a defensive line with Brandon Graham and Vinny Curry and Fletcher Cox and Tim Jernigan flying in there, the corners are better. They don't have to stay with receivers forever. They can drop back there and play zone if they have to. They don't have to press all the time. It's a coordinated effort, but it all starts with the people up front.
Yeah, there's no doubt. You can cover up any secondary at any time if you've got a pass rush that's making them make decisions that they're not capable of making. I mean, you're not both.
Yeah, believe me, there's no Darrell Revis in his prime or Richard Sherman when he could still walk back there. They're good. They're playing well. But they do not have anybody back there who you would consider to be an elite corner, unless Ronald Darby develops into that the more he plays. And the person they drafted, of course, who they think will be that one day is Sidney Jones.
Merrill, you and I both know during the course of any season, there's going to be that game along the way where you walk out of it and say, wow, how the heck did they win that? What did that Giants game do for the overall confidence of that football team?
I think it was a big plus. It was a dramatic win. It was one of the most fun moments of my professional career when that 61-yarder snuck inside the right upright. But I want to tell you something, Steve. I think the defining moment for this team, think about it, was the Thursday night win in Carolina. There they beat a very good team on the road. That was what wanted them last year. They couldn't win on the road. So they beat a good team on national television on the road, and then they puffed out their chests, and they didn't get complacent, but they said to themselves, you know what? We can be in this thing. We can play. We can play with anybody. And I think that game was the defining game. The Giants game was certainly the most dramatic win, but the Carolina game is the one that paid dividends.
Bye week, timing really good, it seems, on the surface for the Eagles. What are some things you're looking at Sunday night with Dallas that are going to be really important?
If you talk to the fans in this city, they're talking about annihilating the Cowboys, destroying the Cowboys, just humiliating the Cowboys. I don't see it that way. Dallas is a team with a lot of pride and a lot of talent. Dak Prescott is an extremely talented quarterback who can beat you with his legs. He's got a lot of weapons out there, even with Elliott gone. I mean, Alfred Morris in the second half last week ran well against Atlanta. And you look at their receivers. You look at Dez Bryant. You look at Terrence Williams. You look at that annoying little Cole Beasley who's always hurting the Eagles. And then you look at a Hall of Fame tight end. I mean, not a possible Hall of Fame. A flat-out, probably first-ballot Hall of Famer in Jason Witten. There's a lot of talent there. There's a great defensive end in DeMarco Lawrence who has 11.5 sacks. It's not going to be easy. I think it's going to be a terrific game. I still think the Eagles are the better team, but the better team doesn't always win.
Merrill, absolute pleasure as always. It's been a great season so far. Looking forward to more great calls down the stretch. And again, we thank you so much for your time and your great work.
It's my pleasure, Steve. I've enjoyed your work. I love Penn State. I root for them every week. My heart was broken when they lost the Ohio State and then the Michigan State games. But look, it's still a fine season. There's still a big bowl game ahead. So go Knits.
Thanks, Merrill. Appreciate it, my friend.
See you, Steve. Bye-bye.
The great Merrill Reese. Not only great as an announcer, but about as nice as it gets in the profession. He just, you know, and he is universally admired by not just Eagle fans. I think there are a lot of NFL fans across saying, wish he was our guy.
Season number 41, and he's got to be having a blast.
Yeah. Merrill and I go back to the Atlantic 10 together. I was doing Penn State. Merrill was doing St. Joe's.
Hoops?
Yes. That's how far back Merrill and I go.
So how many years did he do hoops before Eagles football?
He was doing the Eagles at the time.
Okay.
Yeah, he was doing the Eagles at the time. Because, you know, 41 years. I mean, I go by 36. So he was doing the Eagles before I was doing Penn State football. Basketball. And, yeah, he was a couple years. I'd go on to... Going to Hagen in the old field house where the Sixers always practice, by the way. It's where they used to practice. There'd be Merrill and I exchanging cards. Okay, what about this guy? What about that guy? You know, I think the world of the guy. I think he is a perfect example for any young broadcaster out there about pride, preparation, teamwork, working well with other people, great with the fans, calls a game with an excitement, a knowledge, and a passion. Any young broadcaster, just by listening to him, would get a really good feel as to how to really do the job. But yeah, but he and I go back to Atlantic 10 when he was doing St. Joe's for a couple of years and I was doing Penn State. Yeah. So we're going to get these trips down memory lane, by the way, sponsored. We'll be talking about that at the holiday party.
It's your sponsor here.
Okay, that's why Jamie never wants me at the party. I have all these ideas.
Well, that's going to change.
Why, Jamie's not going?
No.
Yeah, the party's on the 13th. Now, we probably shouldn't have told the suit it was the 15th, but we'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Keep your cash this Christmas. Sunbury Motors Kia is going to light up the holidays. Light up the holidays with Sunbury Motors Kia. Brand new 2018 Kia Rios start at just $15,955. Sunbury Motors Kia is your Kia Sorento headquarters with 28 brand new 2018 Kia Sorentos starting at $23,921. Sunbury Motors Kia has 2018 Kia Optimas discounted $2,440, priced all the way down to $21,570. SMC is going to light up the holidays with huge discounts, aggressive trade values, and the best financing from Kia. 0% financing for 60 months on 2018 Kia Sorentos. Remember, every new Kia comes with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. Keep your cash this Christmas with the help of Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip at Hummel's Wharf, lighting up the holidays for you and your family.
Tax and tax extra. Offer expires 11/30/17. Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty. For details, see retailer or go to Kia.com.
You know what I like about that play-by-play cut? Is Jack laughing? Jack and I talked for maybe a half hour, 45 minutes this morning. Jeez, he does not like the suit. That's enough. Something about a restraining order. Don't know what that meant.
You don't have to worry about that at your daughter's wedding in June. I wasn't hovering in that end of the room.
No, you should have come over.
I should have. I know I should have.
Come on.
I should have.
Everybody's friends there.
Yeah.
You know, for goodness sakes, everybody's friends there. Oh, it'd be ridiculous.
Oh. But no, we were over at the other end of the table with Kev. Well, no, with Kev and his new wife.
So what?
I know, I should have went over. I should have.
Ridiculous. Yeah. God, they're just people in the end.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. Now, is everything going to fall into place for you next weekend? Because now we're a week and a half away from Jack and the 26 other Steelers getting into Hall of Honor.
I know you're
kicking the idea around of getting there.
I don't know. We'll see. He and I are going to talk about that this weekend. So, because I mean, I've got a lot of I've got to go. Let's see. I've got a game tomorrow night, and then a game Saturday. So I got basketball tomorrow, football Saturday. Sunday's a travel day. Basketball Monday. Basketball Tuesday.
Brooklyn.
Then back home. So that's Tuesday. So Wednesday, then I have TV show, Quarterback Club, and we have to do the talk show that night. By the way, Sandy Barber's on the show tonight, along with James Franklin, from 6:05 to 7. And then Friday, I've got another game, basketball. And then I've got to drive after that down to Maryland to do football on Saturday. And then
now, is the team bussing to Maryland?
They're busing to Maryland.
Okay.
Yeah, they're bussing. I'm just going to drive down as soon as the game's over. They're going to probably leave here around 11:30 next Friday. I can't leave until 5:30, quarter or 6 when the basketball game's over. So I'll get down there about 9:30, somewhere in that range, and get a bite to eat once I get down there. It just screams Marriott Burger.
Points? Points?
Well, lots of points, yeah. It'll just, go in the restaurant, get 5 points. Is it 5 points a dollar? All right, and then Somebody asked me today, how many married boys do you have? I said, a couple hundred thousand.
I'm not kidding. I thought it wasn't
a joke. Remember the George Clooney movie, Up in the Air?
Yes.
All right, so we were trying to figure out last hour when we were going through the Ohio State football
season. And then I've got a basketball game at NC State. I got the ACC Challenge game right after
That's right.
And then I
got
to go on the road again to Iowa right after that.
Yeah.
So, still got a lot of things
Living
going
the dream.
Yeah.
You're loving every minute of it.
Yeah, they've got Illinois this weekend.
Yeah, we were trying to figure out the two the two crossover teams that Ohio State has played. Yeah, the one we couldn't figure out was Illinois.
Because they hadn't played them yet.
Yeah.
So they've got Illinois this week. So if you've ever gone through a construction zone and you've seen them put down asphalt, how do they then smooth out the asphalt? With a steamroller.
Yeah.
That's the Ohio State-Illinois game coming up this weekend.
In July.
Now, I'll fully admit, just to make Chris feel better, I think Syracuse could beat Illinois. Just to make sure Chris feels better about the show.
How did this become like I'm the lone like Syracuse fan? I was just making an argument.
No. It's you and Matt Park, their play-by-play guy.
You were bringing up an observation. I give you an A for effort.
I was playing devil's advocate at best. I could care less if Syracuse disappeared tomorrow.
That's okay. We understand that, you're an orange lover. That's fine.
The color, yes. The color, yes. The fruit, absolutely. The football team, no.
I got it,
I love pumpkin and all that, but I don't like the orange men. I'm not, as they were called in my day.
If anyone has seen the suit, by the way, give the authorities a call at 1-800-THE-SUIT. Haven't seen much of them in the past 5 days, have you?
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Tomorrow, opening half hour of the show, Matt Leon, KYW in Philadelphia. Second half hour of the show, Brad Edwards on the college football playoff from ESPN College Game Day. And then the Pick'em segment is the final piece of the puzzle tomorrow, where I am going to be accused on the air of bragging and jumping up and down about the fact that I've closed the gap to a game on the Pick'em. And
I'll admit I'm following your lead, and maybe this is the reason now why I'm in last place, because I'm not putting a lot of energy and effort into my picks this year like I did last year. I was really gung-ho to try to do a great job and try to, keep up with your brother. And I, to be honest with you, I haven't even sent him who we're picking tomorrow.
And Steve, I'm going to add a little, I started here in December last year, in January, and I came in and he had all kinds of protractors and all kinds of things out. He was trying to figure out statistics. I mean, I was like, who's the weird guy in the studio over there trying to figure out all these picks? Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. That's the first time I used a protractor since elementary school.
Exactly. And I don't know what you'd use a protractor for to try and figure out picks, but it works.
Well, because I was holding it up to the light and it was looking kind of weird why I was even,
And the show has just hit the bottom. All right, so, it's interesting on the picks. I hear the game and I think to myself, okay, what? Now, the game I felt the strongest about last week was me picking Auburn beating Georgia. I was emphatic about that one. I was emphatic.
Yep.
Because there's a lot about Georgia's team I don't like.
Actually, their starting quarterback was on the Warner Robins Little League team.
Yeah.
That the Keystone Boys out of Clinton County played in 2011.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes, he was.
Yeah.
But I like the two running backs, but there's a couple things. I just thought playing at home, too, was a big advantage for Auburn. But I also felt very strongly about Notre Dame.
Wah, wah.
So, that was, like I said, Jack Ham and I talked for, maybe half hour, 45 minutes this morning, something like that, about a variety of things. And we start talking about the Pick'em segment. Because neither one of us, I'm on three different Pick'ems.
Right.
All right. I'm on the television one, which, believe it or not, I'm winning. I don't know how. That's how I'm winning that one. All right. Jack and I were tied for second to Derek. Right. I guess Jack says to me, he says, I think I went over the weekend. I said, well, I can't even remember the games we picked last weekend. What the heck did we pick?
Well, during a break tonight, during the coach's show at Permanis, if I see Raj, I could say, hey, you know, which games are they going to pick during the pregame on Saturday?
We don't care.
I know.
We're sort of wrapped up in something else. It's just one of those, yeah, you know, fun entertainment segments. And then we do our segment.
Right. It's tied in with a sponsor, too. And yeah.
Right.
You know.
Oh, yeah. 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 LG. You know, obviously, they sponsor, which is, that's fun. They bring in somebody in the whole deal. Yeah, so we just have fun with it, but we never know what the games are. So actually, we'll be sitting at dinner on the road sometimes, and we will look at Jeff Tarman and say, hey, by the way, what are the games tomorrow? Right? And he'll say, I got three. He says, now, kickoff also determines what games you get. So in other words, the early games, like take for example, Michigan and Wisconsin, we can't pick that game on the network.
No.
Because,
or to be going on.
Well, no, it would give us a great advantage. I pick Wisconsin. I think in the fourth quarter, they'll be leading by 8. Oh, ironically, it's 24-16. So it limits you as to what games, it would be a 4 o'clock start. So all of our picks are going to be either similar start times or, right? So sometimes they're just different games.
It could be LSU Tennessee. It could be UCLA USC.
I'll bet USC UCLA comes up, and USC will crush them. And I hate to say that because you know what I think the world of Tommy Bradley.
Yep.
But he just doesn't have the horses over there. You can dial up a million defenses that are all brilliant in concept and being executed by people who are not brilliant in concept. It's amazing. I always told you the story about sitting and doing the talk show one night with Joe when we were in a commercial break, and somebody had just asked a question about why some play didn't work, and Joe's gave some answers. I think somebody from Scranton that called. We went to a commercial break, and there was a whiteboard that we had because we did it in the conference room off the coach's locker room. So that's where we did the show with Joe. I mean, now we do it down at Permanente Brothers. And so we're in the commercial, and Joe gets up. He says, now, Steve, he says, let me show you the play he's talking about. I said, sure. So he gets up, and he draws 11 circles, and he draws 11 X's. He says, you want to know the key to making this play work? I said, all right, what's the key? He says, what is the name attached to that X, and what's the name attached to that circle? He says, that will tell you whether it works or not. You could have all the concept in the world, but if that is a bad name attached to that circle, it's going to fail. But the concept is brilliant. I mean, that's one of the biggest areas. I mean, there's so many big areas that coaches have to do. And one of them is, conceptually, working around your deficiencies and masking them to get the maximum out of every play. And that's what you have to do over and over. Nick Saban's brilliant. Well, part of the reason Nick Saban has been brilliant at Alabama, I mean, part of the big reason is that he has recruited brilliantly at Alabama. And guess what? His circles and X's are really good. Now, are they good teachers? Yes. Do they come up with good concepts? Yes. Do they get them believing and not straying off the reservation? Yes. I mean, do they, and then the bottom line is, when it comes to the one-on-one matchups, their X is better than the circle. Now, last year when they played Clemson, not all the X's were better than the circles, especially the circle that wore number 4. So, that was a game where they had enough. And then defensively, Clemson played a great game defensively in the national championship game. Again, Clemson's X's were better than most of Alabama's O's. And the week before, when Alabama played Washington, Alabama talent-wise overwhelmed them. overwhelmed Washington in that game. Couldn't do it with Clemson. So there's a lot of you can talk concept, you can talk, I mean, the the two fallbacks for most people when they're trying to talk about, you know, a game and trying to seem like they're the smartest people in the room are, oh, coaching's an issue, scheme. Coaching scheme. Okay. Well, here's a whiteboard. Why don't you show me what scheme they should be running? Well, I can't do that, no, coach. Don't tell me what you think the scheme is. Okay. That's something that over the years I've learned very much in my career, and I learned it very, very early. And it's this. And by the way, I'm all for all the interest people have in coaching, and I'm all for all the interest people have in scheme and things like that, because that means they're genuinely interested in their team and in the game. So, okay? So do I have that outlined?
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's why, you know, when people say, well, what do you think about it? Now, you know, I don't read message boards and things like that, but, you know, people say to me, what do you think? And I said, I'm glad they're interested. I mean, the last thing you want is, like, nobody cares and nobody posted. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's not good. But I learned a long time ago that as much as I may think I know about football, they know exponentially more about it than I do. As much as I think I know about basketball, as professionals, they know more about basketball than I do. Just like I'd like to think that when it comes to announcing and how to do it and how to approach it, I know more about it than they do. You know, that's why you're in your respective professions. So it doesn't mean they're right about everything, but I've also felt that, hey, as much as I know, and I'm around it every day. In fact, I'm going to it here in 15 minutes, as a matter of fact, to kind of get one last look as to what they look like for the week. As much as I know as to what they're trying to do and so forth, I know that they know more than I do. And I've always gone into every game with that level of respect for their profession. Conversely, I'd like to think I know more about the announcing part of it than they do. I don't know if that's always true, but but humor me. Humor me on that one. You know, same thing with basketball. You know, why it's supposed to work, how it's supposed to work, and so forth. That doesn't mean like I announce every play right, and it doesn't mean that they coach every play right, and it doesn't mean they don't make a mistake in terms of a play call, just like it doesn't mean I don't make a mistake on a play call. I mean, why is Jack Ham so good at what he does? Because when it comes to that part, he's really, really smart and sees things because he played the game, he knows the game, and he's a student of the game. I mean, Jack could coach. You know? I mean, could I coach? No. Couldn't. Now, I know what you would say, the same conversation. Sue thinks he can coach. I mean, it's just sad.
Not even Jack's assistant coach? No.
That's where the restraining order comes in. Saying,
that's going to be hard
not,
to do with
not
the restraining
for Sue,
order.
But for you.
The restraining order comes in. Yeah. A couple of issues here.
Hard to be the assistant coach with a restraining order. Yes, absolutely.
What do you think out there in the parking lot?
Spider two wide banana.
Yeah. I mean, be honest with you. But with the restraining order, how does that be like conference calls? We do everything on conference calls.
they give him a headset pretending like, you know, he's on the headset, but he's actually just talking to himself.
It's a Bluetooth headset.
Yeah, yeah.
Reaches out to the parking.
I think you just outlined Friday night. Right now, he's in his car. He's driving to Danville. Just got out of the movies, and he's swearing. it's coaching. Okay. In what way? you know what I mean? Right? Okay. It's scheme. Okay. What would you change about the scheme? And again, your change with the scheme might be a really great idea. All right? So let's just say you're Except the problem is, with what you want to do, they may not have the right personnel in the right spots to do it. And that's part of what you go through in practice. Practice is where you stop and you answer all the questions. You know, all right, everybody, Brent Pryor, reload. Reload means you got to do it again because it wasn't done right the first time. Reload. All right. So, you know, and that's, but I've always found that interesting. And again, I really appreciate the interest. I really, really do. And I appreciate the fact there's so many people that are into it. But there are also two fallbacks. It's like saying and as you speak, where those are the crutches to then go to the next thing. Coaching scheme. Okay. Doesn't mean you're wrong about everything, but do understand that they know more. That's what they do. Just like whatever it is you do in life. I'd never go up to anybody and tell them how to do their job. I never have. Ever. I mean, if I see, I don't care what they're doing. They're doing yard work. My thought is, you know more about it than I do. Okay. Now, I will, like, for example, and Chris is an expert on Syracuse football. Now, I am going to dispute that. I do draw a line. Jamie's an expert on holiday parties. I know I've been critical over the years, but,
Buck stops this year.
I'm telling you right now, Jamie, you better show up.
And it's amazing. Just 2 hours later, I'm assigned a fandom just like that. I've never had a college football fandom. Thank you for giving me one.
Every broadcast facility in the country, I'm sure, has some Syracuse fan somewhere. Yeah. ESPN is 80%. All right, we'll come back and wrap things up in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, welcome back. Penn State Coaches Show featuring James Franklin tonight for Manny Brothers. First half of the show will be Athletic Director Sandy Barber. We'll talk about what they've done academically. We'll talk about the search for a new men's soccer coach, Bob Warming, retiring today. And we'll also talk about Giving Tuesday, which will be November 28th. We'll discuss all of that with her and much more tonight. And then also with James Franklin. Of course, we'll take questions from the crowd. That'll be 6:05 to 7 this evening. I'm sure they'll pick out somebody from the crowd to host the show. It'll be great.
You looking at me?
Yeah, this could be your golden opportunity.
This could be. That's true. Mm-hmm. Maybe.
Or maybe they'll just go with the old guy they've been using.
Or just go with Raj,
Yeah, Raj.
Raj. Hey, he works the room. He works the room. Can't steal his thunder.
Sure, whatever. yeah, that's tonight, 6:05 to 7. The show's going to be Wednesday next week. No offense, James and I are not showing up on Thanksgiving. It's just not going to happen. I can tell you that right now. Great to have Merrill Reese on the show today. Check it out on the podcast. Merrill was great today.
Thanks to everybody who has subscribed so far. We're on Google Play and Apple Podcast and iTunes. So give us a subscription.
Leave us a
5-star review.
We have a lot of people listening to the doggone thing. I know that.
Mm-hmm.
I have people coming up to me at quarterback club all the time saying, listen to the podcast. There are people on the pregame show now. Have you listened to the pregame show lately?
Mm-hmm.
The pregame show, people talk about how they're listening to the show and the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks. Appreciate that. Now, when you're there and you say that and you see the stunned look on Jack's face, really, just bypass that. Really? No, really. That's the day you're on. Double the ratings. It was great. Yeah. So, by the way, the Nissan Heisman House is going to be here this weekend. And Derek is going to be in there until 2 o'clock.
Very cool.
Yeah, he'll be in there, and they'll have, LeVar Arrington.
Excellent.
Will be in there. Ryan Russillo from ESPN is going to be there as well. So, the Nissan Heisman House makes its appearance at Penn State this weekend. It's in a tent, so even if it's
calling it a house, it's a tent.
Showering.
Yeah.
You'll be okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all coming up this week. And hopefully we'll get Derek back in time to join us in the booth because, I mean, he has to keep making his picks and burying the competition. He's got a huge lead on us.
Maybe LeVar could be the guest picker this week.
That's if we're outside. I don't know if we're going to be outside.
Okay.
I don't know that yet.
Because of the rain.
Yeah, I won't know until we get there.
That's true.
You know, Derek whining and crying about going outside. And I said, Derek, you are the sideline guy. He goes, oh, yeah, that's right.
Didn't take him long early on last Saturday about hanging by the heater there on the sidelines.
Hanging by the heater? We must have kidded him about that coat he was wearing all day. Jack kept referring to it as a Bill Blass coat. And he kept saying, no, I bought this at Walmart. We're like, sure, sure. I said, thou protesteth too much. And Jack said, absolutely Bill Blass. I said, either that or you sewed in the label yourself. It's still there. Our thanks to Merrill Reese and Zach Showers for being on the show today. What a fun show this was. We enjoyed it. Tomorrow, Brad Edwards, ESPN on the college football playoff. We'll also have tomorrow on the show Matt Leon on the Eagles. And Picks with my brother tomorrow.
The King.
The King with a big lead. One game.